In a world that's left him behind, in a cult with no members, one middle-aged man seeks to relive the past. This is Retro Cult.
Hello and welcome to Retro Cult. Feels just like yesterday that we were doing this same exact topic, but we're back tonight with the Spooky Family, with Gertie, Elliot, and the Elusive Beagle. And we're here for part two of Elliot Explains Ghostbusters to Everyone.
Dan Aykroyd was on crack.
Floating around, I've never seen the whole thing, but floating around, there are pieces of that original in space, and there's all these different groups of Ghostbusters. Well, that's next level stuff.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever, okay, so I'm a huge fan of Ghostbusters. Have you ever downloaded and read the copy of the script for Ghostbusters 3 that's floating around?
No.
Okay, it's called Ghostbusters in Hell. Well, actually, it's called, I think it's called Ghostbusters in Hell. And what happens is, apparently, Hell takes over New York, and it becomes Manhattan instead of Manhattan. And the Ghostbusters are trapped inside and have to save New York from being overtaken by Hell. And the joke is that it's not that much different.
I can see that.
Normal New York.
So you this know, is the very, Ghostbusters 3 we didn't get, right?
This is the Ghostbusters 3 we didn't
get. I can see why.
Yeah. And what now?
What's I can that? See why.
Donald Trump? No.
So that's pretty cool. If you ever get a chance to look that up. It's pretty cool. Called, I think Ghostbusters 3, Ghostbusters Go to Hell or something.
I will have to check that out.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd was really pushing that for the longest time. He wanted that to be the thing. But Bill Murray would not agree to be in the movie because Bill Murray is hard to deal with sometimes.
He's Bill Murray. He is a wish version of Chevy Chase.
Oh, my goodness.
Shot fired.
Bill Murray's proud of that was not me.
I might be exaggerating that a little bit, but... So we left off with movies, so we're going to go back to movies. Or at least if I can push my button and it'll work.
Go to the movies.
There we go. I've got this new board, and I'm just really, really loving buttons. So we left off on the year that movie about the ghost and Razor's Edge, the big movie, Razor's Edge, come out, and he done a voice for BC Rock. I don't even know what that is. But in 86, he was in Little Shop of Horrors. I think it's the only time him and Steve Martin were in a movie together.
Yeah, I think so.
And they ad-libbed the whole scene, and I've never seen it.
It's pretty good.
Well, I didn't know they were in it.
You watched it?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. Steve Martin is a dentist.
All right,
he is a sadist.
That's enough for Justin.
And Bill Murray. And Bill Murray is his patient.
I'll see you guys next week when I join the Spooky Family and replace Elliot. And Elliot's on Retro Cult.
And now, welcome to Retro Cult.
So, after that, going into 88, he actually, I don't guess he really takes 2 years off. They couldn't make movies in a week back then like they do now. Because one of the movies were good, and two, you know, nothing was digital. But in 88, I've seen this movie a couple times and had no idea, but he does an uncredited cameo and plays himself and she's having a baby. Yep, that's about as much interest as I've gotten that one, too.
Never...
Is it Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
And somebody, I can't think of who the woman is, isn't it?
Somebody that is problem. Somebody that is connected to him by 6 degrees. I've seen the movie multiple times. It's not a horrible movie at all. I just don't remember. It's one of them ones that, like, for whatever reason, I think my mom rented a lot. And you know,
it stars Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth McGovern, and Alec Baldwin.
Alec, oh, though. That's what's wrong with it. Yeah. Wow.
It was one of those movies too that'd be like, it's 3:30 on Saturday on TNT. What are we gonna play? She's having a baby.
You know, and also
four times in a row.
Yeah,
it has Evie McClurg in it.
Oh, she's a righteous dude. She's a righteous dude.
Oh, is that who that is? So I did not know her name from Playing Strange.
Yeah.
Well, probably. I think I think of her from Elvira. And then I think of her. She's Chastity Pryor in their name in Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And then she is, is it Feeny?
Mr.
Feeny.
That's from Boy Meets World.
No, I was trying to think of Jeffrey Jones's creeper pedophile principal, his secretary.
Maybe I'm thinking the wrong person. I'm thinking of the rental car lady. And,
I think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And,
rental car lady.
Yeah.
That's 40 F-bombs.
That's Edie McClurg.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
She's trying to confuse me.
No, now that you said it, it took me a while for the click.
So they had the baby, and he was in it, but he was uncredited. He does a lot of weird stuff like that, I've noticed. He likes to pop up places and do voices and play himself.
Yeah, a lot.
Well, I mean, it's a good character. I'd like to be Bill Murray for a day.
I would, too.
Like being John Malkovich would be a cool movie.
Well, like later on, he shows up in Wild Things. Like, this isn't his first, not his first Kevin Bacon movie.
Once you go bacon, you don't go back. You're eternally linked to him by 6 degrees of separation. What are you going to do? It's going to happen.
We did in that movie.
Actually, I can get myself within 1 degree of separation from Kevin Bacon.
How's that possible?
My cousin, I don't know if I should say her name. She was in a movie about job breakers. Yeah.
Wow.
Distant.
Have her.
Definitely distant. I've met her, but as far as ever talking to her, never talked to her. Sister, on the other hand, knew well and talked to all the time, played ball with and stuff. But her, not so much. But I had seen a picture of them together when all that deal was going around, and I was like, aha. I have 1 degree of separation.
1 degree of separation.
You got one degree of separation from Quentin Tarantino. Huh.
That's a lot cooler than Kevin Bacon. I've also got 1 degree of separation and very little separation between me and Dr. McDreamy.
Yeah.
So very little separation.
She was once upon a time in Hollywood.
Was she?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you Brad something. Pitt. As bad as I want to, I've never seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
I love Quentin Tarantino. I just didn't get to go to theaters to see it. And it's not been on any of my streaming services. And they want too much for it to rent it.
And Beagle was just like, what is happening the whole time? Beagle, talk about the end. And then, but don't ruin it. But just like your reaction to the end and being like, this killed me. It's so funny.
The whole movie or the ending is worth watching the whole movie.
Yeah. For sure.
It really is.
I was going to give the $19 to rent it at home and watch it. And then I heard the Bruce Lee story and all that. And if you've not heard the ninja episode yet, I have a compulsion with martial arts. And I was like, I'm going to wait a while. And then I read up on some of that. And if this guy was who he should have been in real life, the fight's overdrawn out and this and that. But that's probably what would have happened because the guy that he's supposedly based on was a bad dude and a big dude. And, it possibly could have happened that way. So, but I did not know she was in that. I just Jawbreakers. I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's the only ones I can never remember. And I don't like either one of them. So I'm not a big fan of her work.
Urban Legend.
Yeah, I seen it. Me and two other people.
Yeah. Everybody's seen Urban Legend. She's the bad guy.
I could not have even told you that. I don't know how I made it through that movie, but I made it through. And it's one of them experiences where on a much smaller scale, I'm not diminishing what these people do at all, but I assume like it's a guy just got back from NAM and he was like, I made it through that. And I don't know how I made it through that, but I made it through that. If I'd had to kill a baby to get out of it, I would have.
You're going to hurt Elliot's feelings because he used to love Urban Legend.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was nice having Elliot on the show tonight.
And that's about circa that photograph that he has signed that used to be hanging on his wall.
Of her?
Yeah. Yeah.
We should have just come up to Pine Top. She used to be in Shots Market all the time with her her bodyguard was the largest human being I've ever seen in my life. He was a nice guy, like super nice. He'd talk to you. He'd give you the head nod and stuff, you know, because I'm fairly physically imposing looking. I know, you know, that probably comes as a shock to people. You know, I'm all of 5'10". And at that time when he was up here, maybe 170 pounds, I've bulked up quite a bit. This dude, I was the size of this dude's leg. And he was massive. And she just go in, you know, and if you've never been to Pine Top, never been on Shots Market, it's not a very big place. And just kind of browse around, probably get some potted meat, things of that nature, and go up and pay. And at this time, I'm not even trying to talk to her. I'm just focused on this dude. But that's, and I don't mean this as a joke. That was at the time when she had had the accident where she'd hit the person and stuff. And like, you could tell, like, she was pretty tore up and just wanted to be home. And nobody bothers her here. Like, nobody comes up. She brought McDreamy. Is it McDreamy or McSteamy? Which one was she making inappropriate movies with?
McSteamy. That's her husband, man.
She brought McSteamy up, and I know a bunch of people here got pictures with him and the neighbors and stuff. But
he's in Euphoria. He's the guy. He's the guy's. Isn't he like the main older character in Euphoria?
You're saying inappropriate. You're saying it like I've seen it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it's kind of a big pop culture thing at the moment. But
I know, but I've got to wait 20 years and then watch it. That's my problem.
That's the retro at the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I do miss a lot of stuff. Like, I miss Lost and then went back and watched it. And I was like, well, what was I thinking? I liked Lost. I know that a lot of people don't. But no, she came up in and out of here a lot. People don't bother. I think that's why she always come back. Plus, well, I want to sign a picture from somebody who was in Jawbreaker. Rose McGowan, maybe, but not her. No.
I want Fern Mayo, man.
Y'all killing me.
I want Fern Mayo's autograph.
And I'm super excited that they're redoing. I don't know if they're remaking it
or
if they're just doing whatever. But they are doing a new Urban Legend, and she's coming back for it. I don't know if it's a remake or if it's kind of like Scream did. But
when you and the other four people see it, you tell me. And let's not talk about what Scream did. Jesus. Let's not talk about what Scream did.
Yeah, she was in Scream 2 as well, buddy.
Now, only three people saw that.
You forgot what all your cousins were in, didn't you?
Why didn't they just...
In the late 90s, early 2000s.
It's not... There's nothing wrong with making a movie and that movie being great and just going, you know what? That's enough. I don't need Scream 2. I don't need Scream 3. I don't need... Whatever this last thing was, nobody needs. No, absolutely. Nobody. Well, there was one of them, and I don't remember which one it was that I found tolerable.
I love Laurie Metcalf. And I also love Timothy Olyphant. So there you go. And Buffy was in that.
I just want the new Fletch.
Sure. Hey, I wanted the one that had Kevin Smith's version with Jason Lee's Fletch.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my favorite... Yeah. My favorite line from Mallrats is when he looks at Shannon Doherty and goes, "And you got my copy of Fletch." I heard that as a kid, and I was like, "I'm going to be Jason Lee when I grow up." You know, minus the jacket and what appears to be bad smelling hair, I'm going to be Jason Lee when I grow up. I never got as cool as Jason Lee, but I did have my own personal copy of Fletch.
I think the rumor now is that they're going to redo Fletch with
Ryan
Reynolds. The guy from Ted.
Mark Wahlberg?
Ted Lasso. Sorry. Ted Lasso.
Sudeikis?
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. That would have been fun. That'd be fun.
No. Yeah, I think
there's only one obvious answer. It's Ryan Reynolds. It's the only role he can play. Well, he is Ryan Fletch. He's Fletch in every movie.
Yeah. But we'll see how that goes.
It doesn't do it pretty well in current movies, though. Waiting is the worst funny movie.
It is a good movie. I know that's the one with Dane Cook, ain't it? Yeah, I didn't make it to. Welcome to the Movies We Don't Like podcast. Brought to you by the entire career of my cousin. She's had a baby, and now that she's had the baby, we're going to move on to a movie that is probably at least the 10th or 11th best Christmas movie of all time, Scrooged.
Yes, 10th or 11th best movie is a travesty. This is the best Christmas movie
it is.
That is not animated or or starring, you know, people talking about angels and bells and stuff. This is this movie to me is classic. It's right up there.
I said that Ghostbusters was my favorite and that there was one movie that was right there with it. And as first being my favorite Bill Murray movie, and that would be Scrooged. But in my adult life, when I was younger, National Lampoon's was my favorite Christmas movie. I just knocked the whole mic over and it won't stand up. But
I keep it full of my glasses.
But as I've got older, there's a huge separation between Scrooged and National Lampoon's, and Scrooged is far and away my favorite Christmas movie. And it's not just like, I can watch any Christmas movie basically anytime. I have to limit myself because I will watch them a lot. But Scrooge, just, I've never turned past Scrooge on TV and not stopped and watched it. Like I think it may be the best Christmas movie ever amongst anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got my top Christmas movies that I have to watch every year. You know, Scrooge for sure, National Lampoon's. For sure. Home Alone. For sure. Christmas Story. For sure. And then Die Hard. For sure.
I didn't hear those, Ernest Saves Christmas on that list, so that's an inaccurate list.
Ernest Saves Christmas is up there. But you know why
you need to watch it? The funniest part is where he plays the snake wrangler and he's trying to get Kris Kringle into him.
Them snakes is pies and snakes.
Want one for your boy?
It's great, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that the five I said are the ones that, like, as soon as Halloween is over, those movies, like, you know, they are there on November 1st, ready to go.
Okay, and I understand that. Now we're telling you to take one out of that five and put Ernest in there. I mean, it's what part of this is nobody understanding? Beagle, tell him drop one of those five and put Ernest in there. Put it at two.
Yeah, I mean.
And we want Ernest Goes to Jail on your top five Christmas movies, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, just because, really.
There's electricity involved. He's probably a lot of
Air
brakes.
Shooting electricity. I love it.
The air brakes was my favorite as a kid. Like, as a kid, I would just on the floor roll, belly laugh at air brakes. As an adult, I belly roll on the floor, laugh at air brakes. But still, as a kid, that was the greatest. I've never outgrown that. I don't know why. His face, the whole deal, I love it. But the one thing about the about that movie, now that we're off of Bill Murray and this is the Jim Varney podcast, how uncomfortable was it? It was only an hour of the last one. But how uncomfortable was it when the girl comes into the prison? Like, into the jail to bust out Santa Claus? Like, I know Jim Varney had nothing to do with it. The dude that directs the Miller Yeller commercials for him, I believe, directed that one. And I believe he really was. I think it's the only thing he's ever done is Ernest movies. But, like, I don't know. Even as a kid, I was somewhat uncomfortable. I was like, you know,
this is okay.
You know, this is, you know, that girl's not in the last 5 minutes in that jail like that.
And she was like Punky Brewster light, like some kind of, you know.
And she was like Punky Brewster XXX. While she was in the jail.
She wasn't playing, you know what I'm saying? She wasn't Flame Moon Cry. She was someone else on older, you know. Okay. Pass it off as if the street urchin kid kind of thing.
Did y'all see there was a movie called Ghostbusters 2 in 89? We done covered that. We skipped that. Elliot didn't like that. We're not going to talk about that one. In 1990, I've never heard of this movie until probably. It came out in 90. It's probably 10 years before I seen it. It's called Quick Change, where he's the clown that robs the bank.
Yeah, it's him and Randy Quaid.
Oh, God.
I want to say.
Well, this,
right about that?
Yeah, this was pre-insane Randy Quaid. Yeah, but I still Randy Quaid nonetheless. I actually like that movie. I think it's an underrated movie for Bill Murray. I really do. Like, I, you know, it's not got as many of the lines and stuff. Like, if it was any other actor, you could just about say, well, that was their best movie. You know, for him, it's a weaker movie. He directed and produced on that one, and I didn't see that a lot on the list. So he got involved, a lot more involved with that one. But since no one else saw it, besides Elliot.
Yeah.
And Elliot did not like Ghostbusters too.
So, yeah, so I'm out. But I thought it was pretty good. I thought it's not his best work, but like you said, it's pretty good.
It's one of those things that it completely slipped by me. It and Loose Shoes. I've still not seen all of Loose Shoes.
I've never even heard of Loose Shoes.
I just heard of it basically from, you know, the first time I was doing this podcast and, you know, right before I took my 6-month break, was going to do oddball movies that I'd seen, you know, and then these keep popping up. You know, I had a rad episode planned out and all this, and but I took a break. After Quick Change, there's a little movie, a small movie, that's near and dear to my heart. What About Bob?
Yeah, now, What About Bob starts 5 movies in a row that I think are just like the second. I like to think that Scrooge kind of ended it. Maybe Quick Change ended it, but I would rather say Scrooge did for Ghostbusters 2. And that ended the first phase of Bill Murray's career. And I think this kind of starts the second phase, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because he done a lot of big movies after that.
Right. And he doesn't necessarily, I know he's the lead in What About Bob, but in Groundhog Day, he's the lead. But really, from the start of those two movies, it's more along the lines of him. How do I want to put it? He doesn't play the same Bill Murray character that Bill Murray played. You know what I mean? Like, this is a whole new renaissance of Bill Murray.
Well, What About Bob starts the real alcoholic, hard to get along with phase. But it's also really good movie. Because, like, What About Bob? He is when he got drunk and threw the glass ashtray at Richard Dreyfuss and clocked him in the head from like 5 feet away.
I think his fame, I mean, he skyrocketed to fame in the 80s. And then Quick Change, you know, that was his first. That was his directorial, you know what I mean? Like, and now he's been brought down. And What About Bob was his chance to get back up there. And I think he just at this point decided it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I'm going to play this the way I want to play it. And if you don't want Bill Murray, then don't get Bill Murray. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it works because it's a great movie. Like, it's one of those movies that I always enjoy it when I watch it. I don't ever sit and think, I guess it's not something I'm going to seek out. I'm not going to sit down and go, you know, I'm going to watch What About Bob. But if I'm sitting and going through the same 15 movies that I look at over and over again on Amazon and end up watching over and over again, like if I come by What About Bob and it's been more than 3 or 4 months, I'm probably going to stop watching it because I don't have a great memory, and that helps me with rewatching things over and over again. And I just like the movie.
Yeah. I do too.
Richard Dreyfuss is good at it.
Richard Dreyfuss is really good at it.
Well, he didn't want to get hit again.
A lot of stuff. That's true. He knew to be good.
Yeah, he knew to be good. He was going to get hit with another ashtray. And I mean, you know. So we go from What About Bob. I'm just going to mention Mad Dog and Glory first because it never interested me as a kid. And I've seen it. It just didn't, you know, if you guys have fond memories of it, keep them to yourself. But if you guys have fond memories of them, you know, let me know. Like, I just didn't. It's not a movie that clicked for me.
It's not my favorite. And I think that was pretty much it. Groundhog Day came out first, right? Am I right about that?
Well, it's on the list first. I don't know which one. I didn't go that deep. But I think it did. Yeah, I'm going to say Groundhog Day was first because I remember an interview that I'm talking about. He basically said, oh, you know, I done Groundhog Day. That was good. And then, you know, that's basically his response to Mad Dog and Glory.
The only reason I say that is I think Groundhog Day begins his he's no longer a leading man. Like, Groundhog Day was his last leading role as the person until we get to Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Everything else he does up until that point, I think he's more along the lines of now he has to be the comedic player of a
ensemble cast.
He's got to take Bill Murray in to the next level of Bill Murray from there.
Right. He has to be Bill Murray, but he can't be so Bill Murray that it overshadows everyone else. And I think that starts with Mad Dog.
Groundhog Day, I didn't realize, and I don't. Professional movie reviewers are the lowest form of life on earth, with the exception of Howard Stern and Tucker Carlson. Like, there's very few people walking the planet that are at a lower level than professional movie reviewers. So I don't really pay a lot of attention. But in doing these shows, I have been stopping and reading not just fan reviews, but, like, you know, quote unquote professional reviews. And I just always assumed that Groundhog Day was a big hit, because it's a big hit to me. I loved it. And I was informed today, and you know, some of these may be newer reviews, people going back and reviewing now. I don't know what the climate was at the time, because it's like most other things. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to what's going on around me at the time. I'm usually in my own head. I just assumed it was a hit because I loved it. And, I mean, do you guys remember any, like, negative or positive talk about it when it was out?
I don't. I remember watching it in theaters and thinking it was one of the funniest movies I ever saw. But I don't really remember. And I'm one of those people. I don't really let critics, you know, tell me what to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If so, I wouldn't probably be as obsessed with the Marvel movies.
I mean, if they say it's bad, I'm probably going to watch it. Because everything they've ever told me is bad's been really good.
Right. And then you've got movies like The English Patient that they love that I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is a movie? This is horrible. But
they're batting average is not high.
Groundhog Day, when you mention Bill Murray to most people, it's either Ghostbusters, Stripes, or Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
To me, those are the three movies that people like. Even Scrooge, which I'll stand on the mountain and scream it, I think is.
You can just stay here and talk to us.
Second, yes.
You can barely see them nipples.
Yeah, it's second, probably his second best role. But you know, Groundhog Day is the movie that everybody loves, and I agree. It's a great movie. It's in my top three Bill Murray movies.
He used to always give me like an existential crisis. But I'm a weird person.
Well, I think it goes back to what Gertie says too, though, because like TNT, TBS, you know, QVC, everybody was playing. I think there was like 1 hour a night that they bought ad time on QVC and played Groundhog Day. It was everywhere. Like you couldn't miss it.
Yeah, Groundhog Day was the TNT movie for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like now, they would play over the summer.
Yeah. Let's just address the elephant in the room. Is Ned the devil?
Devil.
I mean, think about it. Okay. Ned's the devil. All right. Let's say whatever the arrangement is, Bill Murray's actually died. Okay. Bill Murray's actually dead, but he's in purgatory. He's got to get to heaven. He's got to get to hell. No, nothing big happens till he meets Ned on the street. He doesn't actually remember Ned. Remember, he doesn't know who Ned is. He lets Ned convince him that he knows who he is. And Ned sits and tells him, yeah, you know, you remember, I don't know what he said he done, but, you know, he kind of implants a memory into him. And all of his interactions kind of go through Ned. And he has to get the interaction with Ned right. And he's not done with the process until he does the right thing. Does the right thing by Ned, does the right thing by the lady that's not Fran Drescher, does the right thing by all these other characters in the movie. I have no memory. I can't remember names. And
Andy McDowell.
Very, very attractive lady. I like her. She's an excellent actress. I just couldn't remember the hair kind of reminded me of Fran Drescher. But is Ned the devil?
I never started podcasts to become famous, but I really hope that this one becomes famous just so that quote can be used on future like editions of Groundhog Day, starring Bill Murray and the lady who is not Fran Drescher.
my memory is shot. It is because I mean I know that name as well as I know mine.
Also,
most days.
Gerald Zod gets to take his new wife to go see WrestleMania. That always makes me happy. I always get super excited if they were like, look at Michael Shannon, it makes me happy.
He got his tickets for WrestleMania.
Oh my God, baby! And they start screaming. Yeah.
It also has your buddy from the Burbs as one of the diners.
Oh God, yeah.
So can I remember that?
Art's got
name?
A gun.
Yeah,
it's my favorite thing.
But yeah, apparently it was a Canadian comedian. That,
Rick DeCumin.
Yeah. Big friend. Oh, excuse me. Big.
Russell's okay. There now.
I don't care. Big fans with Elliot. Big friends with Tom Hanks. And then he passed away a couple years back.
That's what happens when you hang with Tom. Party's hard. I mean, you know, y'all not heard? He's an international fugitive now, apparently. Anyway, we ain't going to flock around with that one. We'll skip it.
Bye, Ben.
let's go to Ed Wood.
Oh, God, yeah. Listen. Yes. Oh, here we go. And this just goes back to...
And that's all the talk on Ed Wood. Let's go to... No, I'm just joking.
But legitimately, he is the perfect ensemble player, and it comes out
for
right
that movie,
here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he fits in so many good roles.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you guys ashamed of me. Oh, dear God. I don't know
what that was.
Done.
That was Beagle telling us that he's got to go.
That's the wrap it up sign.
Yeah,
Beagle, right, Beagle, don't leave us, right, Beagle, don't go away.
His lasagna is done.
Beagle, if you could just stay. Just me and you, Beagle, just us. Everybody else will fade away, Beagle.
Legit might be asleep.
Thank you, Beagle, for being on the show.
The BiPAP's on. He's out.
He's out.
Yeah.
He heard the sax and he was like, nope. I've never seen Ed Wood.
I hear him breathing. He's breathing.
Beagle.
All right, not Beagle. Does he know that he's still alive?
I don't know. I think he's asleep.
This is the point where you might have to mute Beagle. let's listen to what Beagle does when he goes to sleep. We'll hear the leaves rustling. Oh, it'll be great.
Leaves rustling. The loons in the background.
All right.
Okay,
I own Ed Wood on VHS. And not because it was part of my collection, because it got what I do is I collect VHS that have no value because I like them, and then also have ninjas in them. But I get this. Bobby's joined the call.
I think Trey left.
I end up with this Ed Wood because I bought a collection and I was actually going to resell it. Goose is the one that's like, you've never seen Ed Wood, you've got to watch Ed Wood. And so I've kept it on VHS. Ed Wood's going to get watched in the next week or so because I've never seen it. And I've never heard anything bad about it. I've just never seen it.
It stars George the Animal Steel too. He's in it.
I'm in.
It's amazing. It's really good. Legit. I mean, don't think of it as a Bill Murray movie because it's not. It belongs to like all those people, but it's a really good movie.
Well, you know, there's stuff he's in that I like the smaller role for him sometimes. Like sometimes you need Bill Murray, sometimes you need a little less Bill Murray.
Right. A little Murray will do you.
Well, a lot of Murray's going to do you in Kingpin because I think that Big Earn McCracken is my favorite character that Bill Murray's. Because I look at it in two ways. There's Bill Murray being Bill Murray in a movie, and then there's Bill Murray being somebody else in a movie. And Big Earn McCracken is my favorite, just even more so than Caddyshack. That is my favorite just original character from Bill Murray. Like I love Big Earn McCracken.
Yeah, and the fact that he actually
hit
three strikes
in
a row. Yeah,
that was
turkey. Pretty...
Well, I mean, he's Bill Murray.
That bowling ball with the rose inside of it.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm gonna join a league and just randomly show up with it.
He is tied with Jesus at being my favorite bowler.
Yeah, bro.
It's him and Jesus.
Nobody messes with Jesus. I won't say that. I take away from you and I put your apple and trigger dangle.
There's not a lot of lines we can quote from that movie, but that movie deserves its own podcast for sure.
Petter ass dude.
But
I'm sorry.
Kingpin is just such a fun movie. Like, all over. Like, it's corny, and I like that part of it. And, you know, Jeff Daniels does excellent in it. Woody Harrelson is great in that movie. And the woman that's not the woman from Weird Science is
the landlord.
Oh, the landlord's excellent.
We met her one time, and I was so wanted to take a picture with that terrible, you know, but we didn't ask her to do that. And I don't think it was appropriate.
I already kept saying, should I do it? And I kept saying, no.
Yes.
But should I do it? And I was like, no.
It was like her and Leah Thompson were talking to each other. I'm like, can I go up to her? Can you just do the hand gesture?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the first thing you do is you go straight up and say, Leah, how far did you make it with the duck? And then you look straight at her and say, I need the fingers and the mouth, and I need it now in the picture. You need an enabler in your life. You don't, Elliot. You don't need Elliot. You'll have no reputation left if you guys start hanging out with me for any amount of time.
We actually did not have to do that to Leah Thompson because there was a nice lady in front of us who had already done it. The line for Leah Thompson, we were the sixth, seventh person in line. So the lady in front of us was either the fifth or sixth. And the entire time we were in line, she would scream out, how's the duck? Where's the duck at? Do you have the duck still?
Well, I mean, in fairness, what else do you want to know from Lee? I mean, okay, was Back to the Future fun? Cool. What about the duck?
I've never felt more
what
sorry.
All is Webb done about?
I asked those random questions of her, and she was just like, I don't know, actually. And I'm like, what was it like playing Lorette Velour in the Beverly Hillbillies movie opposite Jim Varney?
Yes, she was like, awesome. I did that?
Right back to Jim Varney. That's where we went.
That's the point when she finally looked at Gertie and just went, look, me and the duck went all the way. Is that what you want to know?
What it is.
I want to know if the size of the duck footwell. Never mind.
But I will say this about Leah Thompson. So we met her on a Friday, and then on a Saturday we were walking through the convention, and she came up and put her hand on my back, remembered my name.
Well, you about that?
How has your day been so far,
Bobby?
And said my name, and I was like, "Oh my God, Leah Thompson knows who I am."
And she touched my.
She touched me. I was so excited.
I'd have just quacked.
Quack.
What do you do at that point? So after Leah Thompson and Kingpin and Jim Varney, he did Larger Than Life. One of the few on this that I don't know anything about.
Matthew
McConaughey
and an elephant.
That's all I got. Oh, it's McConaughey?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to watch that.
It's been a long time since I watched. For some stupid reason in my head, I get Larger Than Life, Dumbo Drop, and then that one random movie with like Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr. where they do like behind enemy lines.
No,
it was
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
It was and Jeremy Piven was in it too.
Oh, good Lord.
There you go. I had to look at
him. His next role is probably the most challenging of his career. He played himself in Space Jam.
That was the man.
Listen, the man. I'm friends with the producer.
That's all you. How'd you get?
somebody told me once, said they didn't get Bill Murray in that movie. It's like, you know, why do you don't need Bill Murray in that movie? I don't know if you want Bill Murray in every movie, but you need Bill Murray. In every movie.
Listen, that part, though, that where he just randomly shows up as a favor to the producer is his life. That is, like, it's sports-related, it's a comedy, and he just showed up as a favor to the producer. That is Bill Murray. And,
how much money do you think was lost when they were just filming the scene of them playing golf? You know what I mean? Like, how much money changed there for real?
Jordan likes to gamble.
They were absolutely betting their shirts on everything.
Oh, yeah. And Murray's a good golfer. And you know, Jordan golfs like he plays baseball. I guess the real question about Space Jam is, how far did Bill Murray make it with the duck?
What's that?
Sorry about that. Sorry.
I thought that's the one everyone's like, I'm not answering.
I was laughing at you. I'm
not answering another duck question.
Oh, God.
No.
The real question is, how far did he get with the duck? And Space Jam.
In
90s,
Lola
Bunny is
pushing
it. Oh,
it
was
more
day.
Oh,
Lola
Bunny, for sure.
Lola was an attractive bunny. I'll give you that. In 97, he done...
Bugs when he dresses up in a dress.
No, old school Bugs in a dress. I was a confused child many times. I mean, you know, you don't know what to feel, you know?
No, not at all.
And carrots? I mean, you know, it says something without saying it.
It does.
Phallic, some might say.
This went weird.
Before this show went off the rails, we were in 1997, The Man Who Knew Too Little. Unfortunately, I know way too much about this movie because I seen it once.
I've never seen it.
Hey, there you go. You are at an advantage to me. Go back and watch it.
Alfred Molina in it, doesn't
he? You got to tell me who he's not.
I'll look it up. I've got to see. I may have saw it. It does have Alfred Molina. Yes. Okay. So he's a spy.
You looked at
and,
it.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a spy.
And stuff.
And he doesn't know a lot.
I remember this movie.
It sounds like it's a take off of The Man Who Knew Too Much. Which was what, an Alfred Hitchcock movie, right?
Yeah, I think so. Didn't Steve Martin want to do this movie? Wasn't that the whole deal? And somehow it ended up with Bill Murray.
No, I don't think Steve Martin's stupid.
Oh, wow.
I've never noticed, because I don't know why. I don't think Bill Murray wanted to do this movie. I think he just is one of them things. He was walking by and they were shooting a movie, and he was like, "This will be a big joke. Watch this. I'll go get in this movie," and it was horrible. There's no redeeming qualities to it. You remember the one where Dana Carvey played the turtle?
Yeah, Master of Disguise.
It's that level of bad.
That's one of the Beagle's favorite movies. You better thank God he went put that backpack on.
Thank God.
He would have been, oh no, Papa, the cannoli, it's gone. he would have said every word from it. He loved that
scary
movie.
Scary thing is, Beagle can even hear you in the woods.
Yeah.
My mic's falling again. That's why it keeps getting louder. We made it past The Man Who Knew Too Little, and then we made it to Wild Things. He had a huge role in that movie.
I don't remember him being in the movie. I seem to be stuck on one or two things. That
one or two? Anything to do with Denise Richards, one or two?
It only had anything to do with Denise Richards, because I actually went into that movie extremely attracted to Denise Richards. And then... her and Neve Campbell were standing next to each other, and it by proxy made Denise Richards less attractive. And I turned off the movie. I watched that one scene a couple times.
Okay, because you think Neve Campbell's so ugly?
Hideous. Absolutely hideous. Liv Tyler, Neve Campbell. I turned the TV off immediately. Armageddon, never seen it all. I've seen the movie, but it's like a little kid watching a scary movie. I close my eyes when Liv Tyler comes on.
Lord of the Rings, too, right?
Is she in the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
That seals the deal. I don't have to ever watch that one again. Or ever. It's so hard for me to make it through the first Scream, even though I love the movie and love almost everything about it, because I have to watch Neve Campbell.
I don't like Craft. I love The Craft.
Great movie. You just got to suffer through. You got to, you know, think, shoot her from the neck down. I don't know.
How was her name?
Oh, my God.
They gave her burns in it, man, for a time, and they healed them.
They wasn't enough.
I bet he liked the one girl, the one that came by herself. No, Robin Tunney.
Robin Tinney.
Or whatever her name is.
Yeah. You gotta tell me who she's not.
Robin Tinney. That's not her name.
I like the girl in that is not the Dash girl.
One came by herself, right? That's what you're talking about.
I like
the one that was attacked by all of them.
The one that got more skin or more sun than the rest of them.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Not the pale lady from American History X, which is a girl that is oddly attractive to me.
That's through the book.
She was in that weird
Waterboy
with
Turned On.
Yeah. Sequel.
She's the girl in Turned On. But she's a little girl then.
With Jack Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
All those guys.
She's also Vicky Valancourt. Show me her boobies.
Yeah, now that's my favorite role of hers. The American History X one disturbs me a little bit.
That is
a movie though that, like, if you can make it through the disturbing opening of that movie, which is hard, like it is a really hard opening to watch. That is a really good movie, and that's probably one of the movies that made me look at Edward Norton completely differently and just be like, that and Fight Club, like, this is one of my favorite actors. And then he made The Incredible Hulk.
Well, I mean, he tried.
Well, yeah, he tried. Not well, but he tried. So we made it through Wild Things with Friends Like These.
What was Friends Like These? I don't remember that one.
That's the correct answer.
I'm at a loss.
You won the prize. Now we're really getting into stuff that disappoints me about Elliot and that Rushmore.
Yeah, okay. I've seen Rushmore. Rushmore's okay. It's not. It's just not my type of comedy.
You like more Election.
You can catch Elliot on the Spooky Family podcast.
I was an Election fan more than I was a Rushmore fan.
Yeah. I watched Rushmore and I didn't get it. And yeah. I was like, okay. And then the Royal Tenenbaums come out. And I was like, I love this. So then I circle back to Rushmore. And I guess I got it more. And I was like, okay. And they're definitely not going to, that little run of weird movies are never going to be my favorite. Now, Life Aquatic is up there. But the rest of them are never going to be my favorite movies. But to me, it's almost like a different actor, and it's definitely a different vibe. And I didn't like, there's not a lot I don't like about it. It's not over the top Bill Murray, but everybody else is so good in those movies.
Well, I think it goes back to him being the perfect ensemble player. You know what I mean? Like he plays his part to perfection, but he's not the main focus of the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which allows him to be freer in life.
Which just allows him to do his own thing.
And probably improves his mood.
Yeah.
And you get to look at his hair. I like his hair.
His hair.
I like curly. I like Big Earl McCracken hair is my favorite Bill Murray hair.
And he goes, oh! And he does the whole, and he's like, he's on his knees up. He's like, oh! You know, I love that part.
Have you ever seen the bowler dude, the real life bowler dude that's always giving the DX chop and this and that? That has to be who Bill Murray based that character on.
Oh, yeah.
If you've not, you got to look this guy up. I don't know his name. He's the guy that's not Bill Murray that bowls.
Remember somebody did a take out of him? Remember he did something really funny. I can't think of what he done in the video, but remember I
said it. After Rushmore, we did. Cradle Will Rock.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the right answer. And then in 2000, we did Charlie's Angels.
Now, okay.
That's the wrong answer. Go ahead.
No. I loved him in Charlie's Angels.
I like Charlie's Angels. It has a sense of humor.
The fact that him and Lucy Liu... The fact that him and Lucy Liu hated each other led to the greatest recasting of all time. When in Charlie's Angels 2... Bernie Mac took over.
That's true.
They were brothers.
Yeah, so
they were brothers.
Yeah, they were adopted. They had adopted Bill Murray.
I listened.
About, you know, Bill Murray and Tim Curry in it.
That yes,
for
that
a
is,
hot minute.
That is the no, absolute greatest joke of anything. Bernie Mac for Bosley.
I watched an interview of Lucy Liu talking about it. And she never really come right out.
What? Yeah.
Well, in the one I watched, she never come right out and said what was said. And he's never come out and denied it. And I know they've got along since then and stuff. And she's like, I don't hold any ill will, but I'm not going to forget that and blah, blah, blah. But I think that just based on the way everybody talked about it, I used to have a bad habit of this myself. I had what people used to affectionately refer to jokingly as insult Tourette's. It's not me trying to be mean. It's that it's the only way I know how to joke. And if I know you really well, that's the meaner I get. And I don't believe anything's off limits. I believe you can say anything you want to say. I don't care what it is. Like I've always been that way. You can say anything you want to about me. I'll say anything I want about you. And but I've toned that down over the years because I've realized, one, I'm not a very strong person, and that could end up in physical violence. And two, some people don't take it the way I take it, and they don't enjoy it the way I enjoy it. There's people I still do that with, and I mean, literally, there's things I'm ashamed that I've said I wouldn't say in public, but I would say anything. But I think that maybe he has that personality to some degree, and that was probably a lot of it. And, you know, I think it's a construction work thing. I don't know that he ever done that. He probably does it on his free time just for the heck of it. But that's something we do on the job, you know, all the time is you just get these horrible things said while you're working, you know. And I almost think that that's what happened there because she didn't seem to be mad enough about it that she holds it against him now. But she seemed to be really upset about it, and fairly so when he said it. And my defense of Bill Murray is because I love him. I want to think that that's what it was. He was just joking and took it too far and she didn't know how to take it.
It's, I mean, yeah, it's possible, but it's also possible that he was just like, I don't like her.
He's got, you know, he didn't hit her with the ashtray. So, you know, and something we really didn't talk about on Groundhog Day is as close as him and Harold Ramis was just like, look, there's lines, it's written, say them, stop, you know, and they really fell out and didn't get along.
Yeah, he does have a tendency to burn bridges, and, you know, but that can be said for every good, you know, actor. I mean, how many actors have, even right now, he's not definitely considered a great thespian, of course, but Will Ferrell, you know, and Adam McKay, had one of the greatest runs in Hollywood history, and now they've decided they will no longer make movies together. Same with is John O'Reilly and Will Ferrell. You know, they were.
You're talking about the guy that's not Eastbound and Down guy, right?
Right, right.
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers. Yeah, John C. Reilly. I'm sorry, and they're not friends anymore. You know, but.
I think John C. Reilly is a wonderful actor.
Yeah. I do too. And I like Step Brothers, but I'm excited at the possibility that they won't make films together anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it is good because, you know, we went from Step Brothers and
Walk Hard is on the same thing.
Walk Hard and, you know, all those. And then you move up to, what was the last one they did? Watson and Holmes or Holmes and Watson.
Yeah, nobody's seen that.
Yeah. And there's just a time when no matter how close you are with somebody or how friendly you are, especially it seems like in Hollywood, there's just sometimes where that relationship tends to break apart. And Bill Murray seems to be one of those people that
he's the master of that.
Yeah. Once it's that time, he just doesn't look back and he just moves on to something else, you know?
I think the Ramis thing changed that though. Cause I think that's why you get all these weird Bill Murray sightings now. It is because of that. I think that, you know, he's kind of, because he seems, and Chevy's the same way. I think Chevy just had to do it because nobody liked Chevy. There's a lot of people that seem to like Bill, but I think that might have something to do with that, just being really interactive with fans and just being so eccentric and out there. One, he's got himself stuck playing Bill Murray, even in real life. And, you know, that's probably a pretty daunting task.
So while we're on the subject,
Go ahead. See, it's an a-hole thing, and I can't help it. Go ahead.
Fine, I don't mind. I'm a teacher, and my best friend was a
principal
teacher/coach. so I'm used to it. Let's just go ahead and talk about the Wes Anderson films, since we're already at Rushmore and we're talking about how. Well, no, but I want to talk about them.
Well, the only thing left on our list is Hamlet. I was stopping at 2000, and nobody saw Hamlet. And I like the Wes Anderson films, so let's get into those.
Well, I mean, just real quick, you were talking about the reason I wanted to talk about. It, you said you think the Harold Ramis thing kind of changed that. I kind of agree, because I think that after Harold Ramis passed away,
he wasn't alive anymore.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
But no, I think he kind of realized what was missing, and it was the fact that once you find that connection with somebody, you know, you need to keep it. And I think he's found that with Wes Anderson, and that's why I'm sitting here looking at, and I know you will want to stop in the 2000s.
Well, no, I'm up for talking about any of them. I just wasn't going to punish you all with any more lists after the 2000s.
And we can always come back and do a part three, you know, especially considering he's getting ready to come out with Ant-Man and Wasp. He's in the new, you know, Marvel movie.
He's in a Marvel movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a Marvel movie. There's the Radical Kid. He's getting ready to make another Wes Anderson movie, you know, right now. I seem to think that Wes Anderson has really brought him out of that Harold Ramis funk, if that's a thing.
Yeah,
that he's in, and he realizes the importance of needing somebody who kind of, and I don't want to say directs him, because he's Bill Murray, you can't direct him, but that. That reins them in, yeah.
I'll tell you what I got from the Wes Anderson. Like, to me, maybe 80s Bill Murray would have never been in a Wes Anderson movie. But like you said, he got to this bit player part. And he wasn't one of the people that got relegated to, okay, you're just in the movie and you're not. Like, he still had big parts in the movie and he still made a big impact. But he was just an ensemble piece. And he does that very well. Not a lot of people do that very well. Like, to me, Clue's the best ensemble movie of all time. Like, nobody there stand out. I'm the star. I mean, Tim Curry, it's hard for him not to be the star when he's in anything. But still, like, you know, even he, you know, there's different people. And it's not big name people, I don't guess, outside of him to most people. But to me, it's people I really liked and characters I really liked. And Bill Murray in the 80s, I don't think could have done that movie without taking over that movie. But Bill Murray from the Wes Anderson stuff could do that movie without taking it over. And I believe that if he's moved into that role, he's also kind of, maybe that's who Bill Murray really is in those. But it's the same character almost for every movie in a certain degree. And like, it feels natural to him. He's good at it. So whether that's who he really is, and if that is who he really is, that seems like the dude that'll show up at a, you know, a karaoke bar and walk in on a Japanese wedding reception and sing a song completely in Japanese, you know.
Or the guy that will end up doing The Dead Don't Die with Adam Driver, you know, that movie.
Have you heard that Sturgis Simpson song?
What did you guys think about that movie? Because I loved it.
The whole way through. And then old Elliot was like,
Then
he kept saying, that's weird. That's pretty funny. And then he'd be like,
I was expecting something completely different, but then at the end of it, it all came together and I was like, yeah, that was
good. I think me and you probably had the same reaction. Like, as I was watching it, I was enjoying it, but I was also like, okay, what is this? Like, what's getting, like, something's going to, because this is not what I thought this would be at all. And then once it was over, I was like, I really liked it. I need to watch that again. And I immediately watched it again right after it was over and immensely enjoyed myself the second time. I liked that movie. And I'm always curious because we have similar taste. You know, your taste is about as bad as mine in some regards. Like, you all don't, you're not trash pandas in regards to like the ninja movies and stuff that I'm into, but like, you guys have really good taste. The movies that are good movies that you guys like, I like as well. Whereas I don't, you know, The Godfather, I've never seen The Godfather. Like, I know it's a great movie. Everybody's told me it's great, and I don't doubt one bit that it's great. And it's not like I'm actively going, I'm not going to watch The Godfather. It's just never come across. And I like, you know, I really would rather watch Gleam in the Cube two more times before I watch The Godfather. And it's a horrible movie. I mean, it's an atrociously bad movie, but I like really old crappy 80s movies. And so I miss out on what's new and, you know, kind of current a lot of times. The Wes Anderson stuff I've caught, and I won't say I get it because I don't think anybody really gets what Wes Anderson's doing, but I enjoy it.
Well, it's probably something I need to go back and rewatch and revisit, but you're right. I mean, it's just one of those things where you got to catch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I've caught it yet, but that doesn't mean, and it's not from lack of like me wanting to miss them. It's just, there's so much, you know what I mean? And like, I have to pick and choose. And like I said, Rushmore wasn't my cup of tea, so I kind of missed the other one.
I understand that. I do. And I was the same way. I guess, I don't know. It may be like, you know, first time, you know, somebody smokes cigarettes. Maybe first time they smoke cigarettes. I have to imagine, well, I do. I know because you smoke cigarettes. That tastes awful and you don't enjoy anything about it. And then somehow you end up smoking them. Maybe that's the way that Wes Anderson goes. It tastes awful the first time, but you put it in your mouth enough times, you enjoy it.
It's a miracle. I don't know. We lost Gertie, by the way. Gertie has been summoned by the children.
The boss.
Yeah, the bosses have come and collected her.
Well, oh, the things so I don't say on the show.
That's where we're at. Let me ask you a question. Do you like, and I know we're not getting into the 2000 movies and so on and so forth, but do you like his more dramatic movies like Lost in Translation, or are you not a fan?
It's sad, I guess, for me to say, but I never seen it.
It's a great movie, but it's not a movie I want to watch again because it's not the Bill Murray I want to see. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, that's kind of why I didn't watch it. Like, Scarlett Johansson does stuff that I like. Like, she's had movies that I like, obviously. I also didn't watch Black Widow, probably the only Marvel movie I've not seen. Not because I don't think it'll be good, just because there just wasn't enough there to draw me in.
Right.
It almost felt like it was going to be a DC movie. And I don't know. There wasn't enough there to draw me in. So her alone, I don't subscribe to the she's the most beautiful woman in the world thing. Like, I think she's pretty, but I'm not going to watch a movie based on what a woman looks like. So that's not enough to get me in there. I mean, I've watched Neve Campbell movies, The Casserole's Done. I didn't like what I seen and read about the Bill Murray character as far as that went. So, like, there was just a lot of things there that didn't make me go, I bet this is horrible, because I bet it's great. But, you know, I don't know. I heard Titanic was great, but I've never seen it and I'm not going to. Like, it's just not. That one's one I almost gave in and watched this week, but I was like, I'm not going to get anything out of it. It's not for me. It's for somebody else. And I don't know. It just couldn't get me.
No, I agree 100%. And like I said,
well, that's good. We don't accept anything else here.
That's why I didn't watch Broken Flowers. You know, that's why I didn't watch any of those movies.
Now, I'll say this. There's a movie called St. Vincent.
That's the one with, what's her face, from Bridesmaids and Ghostbusters.
The woman that's not Melissa McCarthy.
It is Melissa McCarthy. Yeah, now I've not watched that. I own that. I have that DVD, but I've not watched it. Why? I have no clue. It's just one of those things where every time I go to watch it, I just think I could watch something else. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not going to say that's a bad choice. I guess it's kind of like you were with Lost in Translation. I saw it. I'm okay that I saw it. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I wasn't overly excited about it. He is a different character. I think it's unfair to Bill Murray that you expect a certain thing, and some actors get pigeonholed, you know, and like he's the best type of pigeonholed, but I didn't watch that movie because Bill Murray was in it. I watched that movie because Melissa McCarthy was in it. Like, I like Melissa McCarthy. I think she's incredibly funny. And I don't know. She's just one of those people that I pull for. I want to see her do good because she seems to be like a nice person, and I like her movies.
Have you watched the movie Spy? McCarthy and I think Mila.
It's got one of the wrestlers in it, don't it?
I don't know. No, it's got, well, I don't know why, but I think the lead male is the guy from Crank. What's his name?
Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
Same difference as the wrestler.
It's a really good movie. Like, it's a really, really good movie. If you get a chance.
I really liked the one with the artificial intelligence. We're on the Melissa McCarthy hour. I like the one with the artificial intelligence she done. I don't know what it's called, but it was one of those Netflix movies. You know what we forgot to talk about?
What's that?
A Very Merry Christmas.
Oh, the Christmas special?
Yes.
On Netflix? Yeah. I've not watched it. Don't tell anybody.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. I'd like to thank Gertie and Beagle for being here. Elliot was here too. It's one of them things, like, you're not missing nothing by missing it, but being that you like him to the level that I think I like him, like, it's worth watching. It's just charming Bill Murray being charming.
To be honest with you, I had forgot about it until you just mentioned it. It's one of those where I, like, every Christmas Netflix will throw it out there.
Yeah.
And I'm always, yeah, this year I'm going to watch it. And I think it's been like 3 years in a row I've been like, yeah, this year I'm going to watch it. And I just never do.
You sit on a throne of lies.
But I will watch it. I guess it's on there right now. I guess I could probably go watch it.
Okay. You all heard him. He will have watched it by the next. The Spooky Family will now be on here every week. You may not hear them all the time. Sometimes they'll be muted and you'll just hear me, but they're here in spirit.
Oh, and I looked it up real quick because I didn't want to lie to you. The spy movie, it's Rose Byrne, not Mila Kunis. Rose Byrne.
It's the woman that's not Mila Kunis.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I wouldn't know exactly. Actually, I have no idea who that woman is.
And Jude Law is in it.
Jude Law.
Rose Byrne is the lady. She plays Seth Rogen's wife and Neighbors, and she was in Bridesmaid.
Never heard of any of that.
Oh my gosh,
Seth
really?
Rogen.
Oh my gosh, you gotta watch.
I could be lying.
Yeah, no,
Bridesmaids was pretty good. Bridesmaids was pretty good.
Okay, I was just making sure. You never can tell. She was also in the X-Men movie. So.
I definitely never saw that. That sounds good. We're moving into the Marvel hour here. I love X-Men. Wolverine's my favorite mutant and my favorite comic book character. And I just don't, I love Logan, and I know that's selfish of me because that's made for a younger audience, and you can make a movie that will please both, and Avengers Endgame and the Avengers series, most of the Marvel movies in general are proof positive of that. You can make a movie that is appropriate for kids that adults can enjoy. I know that that's possible. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. I don't know that anybody else could ever be Wolverine for me. It's not a casting problem. It's just there's something about the movies that don't click for me. And I don't even like the Wolverine one. It's just about Wolverine. I didn't hate it, but it's not something I was excited about while I was watching it or wanted to go back and watch again. I think they're great movies, and they've obviously been successful. They miss badly with me.
Logan is one of my favorite movies of all time. I just love it. The other Wolverine movies and the other X-Men movies, I can technically no big deal.
Yeah.
But Logan is fantastic. What do you think about Daniel Radcliffe maybe being Wolverine in the new Marvel Universe?
I mean, if they can make a good, you know, if they can make a good movie, fine. Because, like, how many people were like, Twilight can't be Batman. He ain't the darkness. And all I've heard about the Batman movie is how awesome it is. And I've not got to see it yet. Like, I wanted to go. My son doesn't like movies at all of any type. And so I've not got to go see it yet. I'll probably end up, as soon as it's available at home, watch it at home.
Less than a month. It's on HBO Max.
Well, I guess I won't cancel my HBO Max. I've not had nothing in a month. I guess I wait. It's once a month when I actually get something. I don't know. Like, I'll watch it. I guess the Affleck Batman broke me from going, nobody, you know, certain people can't play a role, because I didn't think he done awful. There was enough bad stuff in that movie that he wasn't the worst thing in that movie. You know, Batman versus Superman, everything else in the movie was worse than him. So, you know, Twilight may be able to do this. I don't know. Like, I the way everybody talks, he can. And so I'm excited to see it.
I'm super excited. Yeah, I'm not going to watch it yet either, but I'm super excited to watch it.
But, like, I'm one of them, like, he may do the best job ever, but Michael Keaton's Batman, so it doesn't really matter. I guess that's why they can't ruin it for me, because I've still got Batman and Batman Returns, so they can't take that from me. Yep. They can take a lot of things, but they can't take my liberty and Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton's coming back, too, in the new Flash movie.
And I've heard about a Batman Beyond movie, and I know this is retro cult, and I'm supposed to do retro stuff, blah, blah. I don't have rules. I do whatever I want to do. Nobody ever listens past the first 10 minutes anyway. So I definitely want to do a Michael Keaton episode, because he's one of those guys that I like. Because I thought about sitting down and just doing movies. And one of the problems with just doing movies is I like so many different movies. Like, it'll just be nonstop me just doing. So when I done all the ninja stuff, I got to do mostly American Ninja movies, and I got to put them in there. Rad is one of those movies that just has to be done by itself, because you know, nothing else really fits in that box with it. And all the proceeds from that show will go to get Aunt Becky out of jail. So, because she's in that movie. Have you ever seen Rad?
Yeah, that's the bicycle
dance. Yeah. It's excellent, beyond excellent. I'm so glad you guys joined me tonight, and that you let me keep you as long as I kept you.
I am always up for it. You know, you're one of my favorite people. Retro Cult's one of my favorite podcasts. Talk Jerky's one of my favorite podcasts. So anytime you'll have us on, like, we are more than welcome to be here.
You really got to set higher standards for yourself.
I listen at you. We can't wait to have you back on once we go with our new shows again, starting the second week of April. That's when we're going to start pumping out the content.
Should be on break by then again. I should be on another 4 or 5 month hiatus by then. So you guys have given me 2 weeks worth of episodes. And then my interviews last night give me 2 weeks worth of episodes. I have talked to you guys as long tonight as I did to my other two interviews together last night.
Well, there you go.
But that's the fun part about having you guys on, because, like, I don't want it then. Like, I want to just sit and talk and talk and talk and talk, because, like, I really enjoy talking. I don't meet people I like very often. I'm not a very sociable person. And minus your horrible views on a couple of very important Bill Murray movies, I love you. And I like talking to you.
Well, thank you, sir. We absolutely appreciate you having us on here. And it's been a rough day. You know, you wake up and you find that the drummer of your favorite band has passed away. You know, all this stuff's going on.
That's we were doing the episode for Talk Junkie last night, and my second guest told me as soon as he had called, because, like, we had talked about Foo Fighters. I drove home from West Virginia Thursday, and we talked about Foo Fighters on the way in Thursday, and then we talked about them again yesterday morning, and then he called me that night. I'm not going to be fake. Like, I think that Taylor Hawkins and the guy that's not Kurt Cobain,
Dave Grohl.
I'm not joking. That's really how bad my mind has gotten. That Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins are just, they seem like fun, amazing, good people. And they're like two people that I can never find anything to say bad about. And I've never been the biggest Foo Fighters fan. Like, I don't think they're bad by any stretch of the imagination, and their record proves it. That it's good album after good album, award after award, and and the Rock front, they're about the only ones holding it down right now. And it's a tragedy. I hate that that happened, because that's one of them guys that just always seems so fun and so happy, you know. And he is one of the few drummers that, oddly enough, I've known a lot about for a long time. Like, I remember when he went to the Foo Fighters, because he left Alanis Morissette to go to the Foo Fighters. And I remember reading, just randomly reading an article about that in like Circus or something like that. And he was an excellent singer. He done a solo album that sounded like it was straight out of the 70s, just good 70s rock. Like, I don't know. He just seemed like a fun, cool guy. And my heart goes out to his family and his friends and the guys in the band and stuff with him. That, you know, it sucks when you lose anybody, but it really sucks when you lose good people, you know.
For sure. And the thing is and I hate to get this on the depressing end of the show, but Foo Fighters has always been my band. You know what I mean? Like, people have got those names and Foo Fighters were mine. And just waking up to that this morning, I was like, they, how could it be bad? And, you know, how could it be worse? And then I started talking to you.
You're not wrong. I mean, it's true.
Listen, we absolutely appreciate it. We love it. We're glad. We just appreciate you letting us be on, man. Thank you so much.
Well, you guys have always got an open invite, unless I've got somebody bigger on, and, you know, nobody else does the show. You guys are not the only guest. My friend Lance did a show with me. But other than that, you guys are the only guest. And since this is going to be a double episode, you guys have almost been on the show as much as I've been on the show.
Well, listen, we'll gladly be back on. We don't mind a bit. You know, Gertie is all about Michael Keaton. Gertie's all about all these things. So anytime you need us, man, you know how to find us. Be there.
All right. Thank you guys very much. And thanks, everybody, for listening. This is a fun show. It's why it's the first one I brought back. And it's fun when I get to have people on that I really enjoy talking to. And I love listening to Beagle breathe while I talked about movies that he's too young to remember. But Beagle is so much fun. And I really appreciate him taking the time, because Beagle doesn't know me, and neither does Gertie. As you know, little as you and I've got to interact, you now obviously know each other better. And he's took the time like 3 times now to come on the show. And that means a lot. And it means a lot that you and Gertie take the time out of your busy life to do it. I don't have a life, so I don't understand what that means, but I'm told it's a sacrifice, and I appreciate it, because I don't make sacrifices. Go ahead. But thank you guys very much for being on. Thanks, everybody that listened. And if you made it all the way through to the end of this, this is the end of part 2. And I said I was going to give away another one of the steel signs, because, you know, I've got a bunch of them and they don't mean anything to me. And I want you to take them and put them in your junk so that they're not in my way. I'm not doing you a favor. I'm doing me a favor. And that's the type of guy I am. I'm a really good person. So what was Bill Murray's first movie? That means you have to go all the way back to that first episode and listen to it, or you can just Google it and not listen to any of them. If you're smart, you fast forward all the way to the end, get the question, and go back. That's what I would do. I wouldn't sit through this. But if you want to get a hold of me, it is retrocult@gmail.com. Actually, it's retrocultpodcast@gmail.com. I forgot. I made it as long as possible because somebody else had retrocult. I'm everywhere you find podcasts and stuff like that, and I've got some social media. I'm not going to tell you what they are. See if you can find me. Because the guy that won the last sign, whose last name is Williams, and I don't know his first name, and I do have it written down somewhere, but he doesn't care. He just wants to sign. He found me from TikTok. And you don't have to respond really quickly to answer these questions, because he waited almost like 4 days and nobody else took the time to message in, and he got it. I'm surprised that he got it. I'm surprised he listened. I'm surprised anybody listens. But thank you very much. Everybody have a great night. And see you next time.